share with you my story, would you share your...
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Hi, I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's our producer. A shorter version of the Wintrust Business Lunch today. Tony Preckwinkle and others expected to address the city and the state, at least the county. That'll be at 12:30. We'll let Steve Bertrand do the news at the bottom of the hour and presumably join it shortly thereafter. So let's get rolling with some of the news of the day. And joining us, as he often does, is John Najarian, the founder of MarketRebellion.com. Actually, John's just now getting on the phone. But the first thing I want to talk to him about is what Orion Samuelson said just a moment ago. The S&P and Dow have hit new three-month highs. You'd think with all of the turmoil between COVID-19 and then between the violence in some of the cities and states, certainly Chicago is included, that maybe the markets would not react so positively. That's to say nothing of the overall health of the economy, again, because of COVID-19, the saber-rattling between the USA and China on the trade front. John, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but why all the good news on the markets today?
I'm sorry, I missed that part, though, John. Why all the good news in the market? Why is the market reacting this way?
Well, the S&P and Dow have hit three-month highs. And so
yes, sir.
What's going on here?
Well, it's an extraordinary flood of capital into the markets. And it's all U.S. markets. It's not just the stock market. As you know, John, the bond market or fixed income is over twice the size of the stock market. I think one is $20 trillion, that's the stock market. The other is $40 trillion, that's the bonds. You look at a company like Chicago-based Boeing, which is in a world of hurt and has had all these issues with the 737 MAX and other issues, and then this stoppage virtually of international travel affecting them and the maintenance of the planes and all the rest. They were able to raise $25 billion almost by snapping their fingers. Yesterday, Amazon, which, of course, much bigger, stronger company than Boeing, although profit margins are pretty darn thin over there, nonetheless was able to raise money for 3-year bonds, 10-year bonds, 20-year bonds, 40-year bonds at record low interest rates. So that flood of money that the Fed really got started with when they started addressing the shutdown and the decided mistake, I think, that it was to shut down the economy completely, I think that is what's causing the markets to rise. It isn't euphoria about what they see on television. It's instead just there's so much money out there. So, you know, $7 trillion moving towards something that's going to get a yield. And right now it's stocks and it's bonds.
Is there a downside to this down the road? I mean, other than having to repay this money at some point, but in terms of the economy or the values of these stocks, is there a downside to all of this?
Well, certainly. I mean, our children and grandchildren will be bearing the burden of this, most of the burden of this, like I say, these decisions that are made by the Federal Bank, as well as by the Congress and the President. But I don't know what they could do except to have not gone down this path in the first place, John. I mean, we're not responsible for the pandemic, but how they addressed it and the complete stoppage of an economy that we had never, ever seen or anticipated, that's what, sadly, the members of the Fed and the Congress and the President had to react to. With this massive amount of stimulus. And sooner or later, that bill does come due. But as far as any money manager that you talk to, John Rogers, John Najarian, it doesn't matter. This is unprecedented, and we don't know how far down the line it will be before we actually have to pay this back at higher interest rates. Right now, paying it back at almost zero is very palatable. But you know, as interest rates recover, and that might be 10 years, John, then that'll be a lot more expensive, and this will seem even more like a bigger mistake.
John Najarian's on a phone line. I hear some noise in the background. Are you good, John? You can talk to us?
Yes, sir. Yep, I'm good.
That's okay. I have time for maybe just one more question anyway, and that is, having said all of that, you know, I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop here, but the markets are continuing to inch up. Do you have any views on what the next 6 months are going to be like in the S&P and so on?
Well, the issues, you know, like the riots and the looting and all this kind of thing, are on a scale relatively minor in terms of market impact compared to the COVID response that we've had. So, yeah, sure, you're going to get body cam providers like Digital Alley up, you know, 80% in a single day, which it did yesterday, move up by 80%. But overall, I think you're going to see people returning to work in pretty big numbers, especially since, even if there is a second wave, I doubt very strongly that there will be much of an appetite to lock down the way there was for this first time. And I encourage anybody to just check out Michael Levitt, the Nobel Prize winner from 2013. His writings on this are amazing. And he just describes in great detail why it was such a big mistake and why he thinks if there is a second wave, that we will not see another lockdown.
Hmm. Michael Levitt, interesting reading, and as always, interesting conversation. John Najarian from MarketRebellion.com. Steve Daniels is on a phone line reporting for Cranes. Hi, Steve. It's John Williams. How are you?
Doing well, John. How about you?
Really good. We've been talking a lot about the decimation of some of these businesses in Chicago and really throughout Illinois. What kind of insurance options do they have? I know you've been looking into that.
Yeah, I mean, most of these businesses, not all of them, but most of them have insurance that will cover these losses, property destruction, inventory theft, and the like. So unlike the business interruption issue from the pandemic, which, generally speaking, those losses are not covered, these, in most instances, are. So that's the good news. The bad news is what comes when their policies renew.
Just like my homeowners, right? If something goes wrong, then, or say with my car, then my premium goes up. Is that what will happen to them?
Yep. Or you know, most likely, put it that way. I mean, and the difference between a car and this, of course, is that a car, when you get into an accident, your rates go up, but if it's your fault. You know, in that case, there's a certain kind of logic to it. You did something wrong and you're paying for it, or you made a mistake and you're paying for it. But in these cases, of course, it's not the business owner's fault that their shop got looted and destroyed, but they're going to see the same result, most likely.
Yeah, I wonder why. I mean, in the case of an automobile, it's presumed that maybe you filed a claim because you're a bad driver. You're a higher risk. You're not careful enough. I don't know that there's going to be another instance of mass looting and robberies that these business owners have had to endure and that the insurance companies have had to pay on. Is it covering up their loss, the insurance company's loss? Is that what they're doing?
It is. I mean, this happens to... in terms of auto insurance, you're going to pay higher rates just based on where you live, or lower rates based on where you live, because there'll be a more likely car theft or vandalism and the like. In the same way, if your business is located in a place that is more prone to crime and or urban unrest, and this isn't the first time we've seen looting in cities before after things have gone awry, then that's going to get priced into your insurance as well. Insurance companies look at it as risk, purely as risk.
I understand that, but Central Camera would probably say, I thought that was already baked into the premium I was paying. I mean, I've been paying that high insurance for this very purpose, and this is a once-in-a-half-century series of events. I don't know why I'm arguing with you.
Well, no. I think those are normally the questions that people with insurance policies ask when their premiums go up after something bad happens to them. I didn't have anything to do with this. Why are my premiums going up?
And do you think that it's going to happen again? Like, okay, so you had to pay out. Well, I've been paying you for years. Now it's your turn to pay me. I'll bet we could go another 50 years before this happens. So it's interesting that the insurance company they want it both ways. They want the premiums when nothing is happening, and then when they have to pay out, they want you to make them whole again. Well, I thought that they were making a lot of money all along. I'll stop talking.
Right. Well, and then there's two components to this. So the rates that people are paying for their insurance already were going up before the pandemic and before this. Property rates for business for a long period of time were stable, and then they began going up, sort of creeping up about 2.5 years ago. And that's really gathered momentum in the last 12 months. And now, before any of this was happening, on average, these rates were going up 20%. And that's because the profitability that these insurers were experiencing wasn't adequate. So insurance pricing goes through cycles anyway, just kind of on its own. And this is a bad time for really bad things to be happening because we're in an up cycle anyway.
You know, that's what they said, rightly or wrongly, about Obamacare. When Obamacare came into place, people's premiums went up. And one version of that story was that insurance rates on the medical side were going up and were going to go up anyway. That would have happened with or without the Affordable Care Act. You all argue amongst yourselves about the truth of that, but that's how that conversation went. I presume, though, all of these business owners will file claims, though. Sometimes if your car gets dinged, you eat it. But I presume these losses are sufficient. Well, I don't know. Are they sufficient enough that most of them will take the insurance money, Steve?
Oh, yeah. These are substantial losses. And you're talking about these things happening, of course, when a lot of these businesses already had seen their revenues plummet or weren't even open at all. But in most cases, the places that have been looted are places that were open, were functioning, might have already seen their revenues decline. So they can't afford to eat a cost like this. Most of them are operating on pretty slim margins anyway, so they don't have the cash to lay out to fix everything and to replenish their inventory. So I would have, the vast majority will file claims.
Do you have an observation about the general health of the insurance companies?
Yeah, the insurance companies are fine. The capital is there to certainly to pay off these losses. For the insurance industry as a whole, nationally, this is not a major event, even though it feels like it in the cities in which it's occurring. Financially, it's not a major event. The pandemic may be a lot more of a major event, and then there's a lot of bad weather, too, and that's always the biggest factor for them.
I just have a few seconds left, but about the pandemic, were they filing claims? Were they able to say that this was a force majeure or something like that?
Well, yeah, there will be a big battle in court about this over the next several years. That's going to take an awfully long time to sort out. In general, commercial property policies do not cover losses from governmental forced closing over a pandemic, but it depends on the wording of the policy. Some policies are worded a lot more tightly than others, and all of it is going to get tested in court.
Steve Daniels, writing for Cranes. Nice to talk to you, and thanks for the heads up on this. Maybe we'll visit again. I think this is going to be, unfortunately, an ongoing and interesting conversation down the road, Steve.
I would expect so. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Daniels at Cranes. It's 12:27. This is WGN. We'll get you to the newsroom here in just a moment. Afterwards, we expect Tony Preckwinkle and a few others have some things to say. We know they do. That press conference is scheduled to begin after the news, maybe even during the news. 12:34, WGN. This is John Williams. So perhaps we've closed the door on the Wintrust Business Lunch for today.